That's true. You can turn to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. Okay. I am going to be focusing on verse 13, but I will be reading before and just giving some context of the history here. And, you know, we got to get into it because it's really interesting, I think. You know, when you're reading the Bible, it could get really interesting and you start figuring things out, and it's just, it truly is amazing. So Isaiah chapter 7, I'm going to start reading in verse 1. Let's go ahead and pray here before we get started. Lord Jesus, I do thank you for all the blessings that we have received from you. Lord, I thank you that we have food to eat. Lord, we have jobs and we have work. Lord, we have so many good things, and sometimes we take them for granted, Lord, but we don't want to do that. We want to thank you and praise you for them. Especially, Lord, we thank you for the salvation of our souls. We thank you that you died on the cross to save us and to free us. Lord Jesus, if there's somebody here that's not saved and they need to know you, I pray that you'd open their eyes, give them understanding, and I pray that any hindrance would be taken away and that they would trust in you, Lord Jesus. We give you all glory and honor today. In Jesus' name, amen. So Isaiah chapter 7 starts off, it says, and it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. So this is the time of Ahaz. Ahaz is a descendant of David. Ahaz was not a good king. Not a good king by any means. If you look up 2 Chronicles chapter 28, it'll tell you that Ahaz, he was a bad king. He followed not after David his father, but he followed after the kings of Israel. He followed the same ways they did it, and he was serving other gods. In fact, it says that Ahab was probably, I think he's one of the worst kings of Judah. He actually sacrificed his children. He sacrificed his children. And so this is just a really bad king. It says that then Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the king of Israel, then did war against him. Now, also in 2 Chronicles 28, you'll find out that this war against him was actually something that God had set up. God, because of Ahaz's rebellion, because of Ahaz's sin, because of the way he was living, and because of the way he was taking the kingdom, God actually rose up Syria and rose up Israel to join together and to go fight Ahaz. This was like a wake-up call. Like God is trying to say, hey, you're doing wrong. You need to wake up. You need to get right. You need to fix your ways. And God does that a lot. God wants to wake us up, and you know, something good comes from pain. Sometimes if you don't feel the pain, then you're not gonna give it any attention, right? And sometimes this is the only way kings would learn, is that if God left them in peace and if God only gave them prosperity, then they would think they were doing okay. They would think everything was fine. Well, so God sometimes sent war, sent problems, sent some distress so that they could seek him and so that they could get right with him. Well, in 2 Chronicles chapter 28, it actually says that Israel took a bunch of captives from Judah. They took them to their places, and God actually sent a prophet to them and said, hey, I just wanted you to war against Israel. I just did this so that I can wake them up. Why are you taking captives and why are you bringing them home? That's not what I called you to do. And so they get it right. They send the captives back. I mean, it's pretty interesting. You should read it. But this is what's going on. There's war against Ahaz. And Ahaz is in his city in Jerusalem. He's in his city of Jerusalem. So they then, what they would do is they would make a siege, right? They would surround the city. So they would be there. They're ready for war. They don't let people come in and out. You know, it's a bad spot to be in. If you're stuck in this city and you've got an entire army on the outskirts, there's nothing for you to do. And so this is where they are. But they couldn't prevail. They couldn't get in. They couldn't make it through the walls. They couldn't overcome the city of Jerusalem. And Ahaz then is kind of worried. So in verse 2 it says, it was told the house of David, that's Ahaz, saying Syria is confederate with Ephraim. So he's like, hey, it's two armies. It's the Syrian army and it's the Israelite army. It says, and his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Their hearts were moved. They were full of fear. It was just a fearful thing. They were full of fear because the Syrian army was against them. Now, the good thing is God sends a messenger. And this is what's amazing. In verse 3 it says, then said the Lord unto Isaiah. So here we have Isaiah. He says, go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Sheresh Jashub, thy son. Again, really hard names. Go, right, meet Ahaz at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field, and say unto him. So God sent a message with Isaiah to King Ahaz while he was surrounded with an army. It says in verse 4, take heed and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted, for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria, and for the son of Remaliah, because the Syrians and Ephraim, right, Israel, the son of Remaliah, they have taken evil counsel against thee. They say, let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach there for us, and set a king in the midst of it. Even the sons of Tabal, right? These are the plans of the enemy. But in verse 7 it says, thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. God sends a message to Ahaz to comfort him and to tell him, listen, it's not going to happen. Right? God had set this up the whole time. He knew how far they were going to go, and he knew it was not going to happen. They are not going to get into Jerusalem. They're not going to destroy you and your house. It's not going to stand. God gave him this promise. God gave him the promise that there was stability, that he could be quiet, that he could not fear. And God gave him that promise. God offers him a sign now after this. So let's move on. I'll just keep reading. It says, for the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus, this is verse 8, is Rezin. And within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, so God says, listen, this is not going to happen. They're not going to stand. They will be destroyed. You don't have to worry about this. And then he gives a warning to Ahaz. He says, if you won't believe, surely you shall not be established. Right? God has already set this up, but if you don't believe me, then you won't be established. Verse 10 says, moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. God says, look, I want you to be quiet. I want you to be still. I don't want you to fear. So I'm giving you this promise that it's not going to happen. I'm giving you this promise that they're not going to overcome you. I'm giving you this promise of safety. Don't worry. And he says, and I'll give you a sign. Just ask, what sign do you want? I'll give you a sign so that you know my promise is sure. Wow, that's neat. Well, look at what Ahaz does. He says, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, hear ye, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? God offered him a sign and he refused. He refused the sign and he showed a false humility. You notice that, right? He's giving a false humility. He's saying, oh, I cannot ask for a sign. Neither will I tempt God. I could not tempt God by asking him for a sign. Come on, God just told you, ask me a sign and I'm going to give you a sign for it. And he refuses that, saying, I'm not going to tempt the Lord. And the Lord saw right through it. And he says, how long are you? You're going to weary God with your unbelief. Your unbelief is going to weary not only men, your unbelief is weary to God. And remember, be careful with this, the false piety, this false humility. When you're trying to pretend one way, God can see right through it. You might be able to fool men, but you can't fool God. God sees right through it. He knew exactly what was going on. Ahaz didn't trust God's word. God gave him a promise, and Ahaz did not trust it. In fact, let's turn to, I'm going to go there fast, it's 2 Kings chapter 16. 2 Kings chapter 16. So Ahaz is surrounded by an army. God gives him a message. God gives him his word and he says, don't fear. Be quiet. I am going to take care of this. You don't have nothing to worry about. It's not going to happen. It's not going to stand. I'm going to take care of it. Right? He gives him that promise. He says, what did he say? He said, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. Now, 2 Kings verse 17, it's the same story. He's just giving us more details. This is about the message that he received from God, the message, the promise, and this is what Ahaz actually did. So, in chapter 16 verse 7, look at what it says. It says, so Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, saying, I am thy servant and thy son. Come up and save me out of the hand of the king of Syria and out of the hand of the king of Israel, which rise up against me. And Ahaz took the silver and the gold that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house and sent it for a present to the king of Assyria. And the king of Assyria hearkened unto him, for the king of Assyria went up against Damascus and took it and carried the people away captive unto Kir and slew Rezin. You see what just happened? God gave him a promise. He said, don't worry, don't fear. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide. It's not going to stand. It's not going to come to pass. And Ahaz, instead of believing what God promised, instead of believing in, instead of asking for the sign and just trusting the word of God, he took matters into his own hands and he took the gold and the silver from the Lord's house and sent it to another king, the king of Assyria, a stronger king, and said, save me, save me. I am your son. Not trusting in the word of the Lord that the Lord gave him. That is Ahaz. That's his unbelief. He trusted in himself rather than trusting in the Lord when he had the clear word of God from a messenger of God. Isaiah gave him his word and he didn't want to believe. He didn't want to trust. So, back to Isaiah chapter 7. That's what I want to focus on. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 13. Because this is how we arrive to what we're talking about. And it's about wearying. It's about his lack of faith. His unbelief was something wearisome. And I suppose this is Isaiah speaking here, you know, because he's the messenger of the Lord right here while he's talking. And Isaiah, I think, says in verse 13, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? He recognized that Ahaz had already had his mind set up. He wasn't going to trust the Lord. He wasn't going to trust the word of the Lord. He was going to trust in himself, in his own things. And he didn't believe the word of God. And so he doesn't ask for a sign. And Isaiah says, "Is it small thing that you weary men? But will you weary my God also?" You know, the wearying, the unbelief is a wearying thing. Not believing is something tiresome, wearisome, right? Weary is to be exhausted by continual strain. It's something, there's resistance, there's a burden. You're being worn down by something. This is being weary. And unbelief is wearisome. This is what unbelief does. Unbelief is something that wears you down. It's something that strains you, that gets you worn out. Unbelief is wearisome. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Continued unbelief is wearisome. And so you need to stop resisting God's word and just find rest that he offers and have faith. Unbelief is not a positive thing. And it's not a passive thing. It's not harmless. It affects you and it affects other people. He says here a couple things. And so, what I want to see first is that unbelief is wearisome, and it's wearisome to yourself. It's wearisome to other people, and it's wearisome to God. So let's shake the unbelief and let's have faith in God. So first of all, unbelief wearies yourself. He says, hear ye now, house of David, it is a small thing for you to weary men. His unbelief was wearying men. And so first thought, you have to obviously know that it was wearisome to himself. I mean, you can think of Isaiah coming in here and giving him this good news. Isaiah is saying, hey, there's salvation. You don't have to worry. You're going to be okay. All this army that you see, it's not going to invade Jerusalem. You're going to be safe because God has promised it. And you can see in his face that he doesn't believe. He doesn't believe the words that are coming out of Isaiah's mouth. And he's worried and he's full of fear. He's trembling. He's still scared. And Isaiah is thinking, Why don't you just believe? Why don't you just believe? And you won't have to be wearied anymore. You know, whenever we have this stress upon our life and all these problems on our life, when you're filled with distress, you get really weary. But if God actually gives you a promise that he's going to save you from something, you have a way to find rest. And this is where he had that opportunity and he did not take it. Now, I'm talking specifically about something that's going on right now in our day, and that is that your sin has caused a problem between you and God, and your sin one day is promised to be judged, and that sin in your life is producing a lot of problems in your life. It's stirring you up, it's causing problems, and you have real problems with God because of your sin.
Amen. Amen.
But there's a promise that has come. Jesus Christ sacrificed his own life in order for you to be saved from your sin. That's a promise. It's something that he's made clear. It's something that he offers. It's something that he gives you. And you can rest in that promise. But if you do not believe, then you're just causing yourself a weary life, a worn down, hard, stressful, however you want to call it, life. Unbelief is wearisome. It wearies yourself. You know, it keeps your heart in constant fear. And this is what we see throughout the Bible, is that where there's unbelief, there's fear. There's fear. God has made a promise to save you. And if you don't believe that promise, then there's no other solution. There's no other thing you can, there's no other resource. You are going to fear. That's the only thing that is left. Fear thrives when there is no faith. And so you gotta be careful with unbelief because it wearies you, because it puts you in a state of fear. Just, Just think about Jesus whenever he says, come unto me, all ye that are burdened, heavy laden, I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon yourself. He says, learn from me. I am meek and of spirit. And he says, you will find rest for your souls. God is offering rest for your soul. And yet, when we don't believe his word, all we're doing is living in fear. We're living in fear of what's going to happen. And you might fear what's going to happen with your soul. You might not know. You might not know what's going to happen whenever judgment day comes. Because judgment day is going to come and your sin is going to be discovered. Your sin is going to be put out. So it's not going to be covered. You're not going to be able to hide it. God sees all things and you will be condemned because of your sin. And if you don't have rest in Jesus Christ, there's nothing to do but live in fear. Now, one thing about unbelief I think is interesting is that unbelief seems fine whenever there is no distress. If there is no distress, then it's really meaningless to not believe, right? If there is no problems, then you can not believe God all you want. Whenever you're healthy, whenever you have enough food, when there are no wars, well, it's like, who cares if I don't believe? There's no problems. But belief actually shows up and calms distress whenever there's actual problems. And that's an interesting thing. But unbelief demands continual self-reliance. It demands that you continually rely on yourself. And you know, that's burdensome. Amen. Your sin causing a problem in your life, and it has, you know, your sin, it's affected you, it's affected others, it's affected God. Your sin is a real problem, and God has a solution. God says, hey, I will take care of the problem that you have. He really does. In fact, God isn't even really wearied because of your weakness. See, God knows you're weak. God knows you're not capable of doing anything for yourself. God knows you cannot save yourself. And that's not what's wearying him. He says, hey, I know you're weak, and so I have provided a solution for this sin problem that you have. He provided himself a sacrifice to save you from that sin problem. What wearies him is that you don't want to believe it. What wearies him is that you would be willing to not put faith in what he has promised. And that you would rely on yourself when you could just rely on him. Faith rests in what God has promised. And it takes you off of the burden of having to trust in yourself. You see, if you're living in a way where you're trying by your good works, by your efforts, by all of the things that you can do to somehow appease God, if you're working and you're this is heavy labor, this is burdensome, this is hard. This is a hard life to live. And if you live in sin and you don't think there's any care in the world and you just want to continue living in sin and not give it another thought, your life is going to be hard in the end. It surely will. It's a wearisome thing. And God is saying, I have the answer for this. Just believe. And it's curious that people would just not believe and rather live with a burden life. A burdened life. It creates a lot of strain. Spiritual strain, mental strain. I mean, think about it. There's whenever you don't have trust in what God has said, then there's endless possibilities of what if? What if this is going to happen? What if that's going to happen? You never know. I mean, God's word is clear. It's secure. He says, here it is. It's a promise. You can believe it. And Ahaz, instead of just believing that promise that he had been given, he's trying to think, what am I going to do? How am I going to fix this? How am I going to get out of this mess? I got to do this. I got to do that. When he could have just believed God. Now, I know belief isn't easy. And think about it. For Ahaz, it wouldn't have been easy. You've got an army surrounding you. You think it would be easy to just believe and say, oh yeah, God said it, I believe it. It's not as easy as it sounds sometimes. But could he have believed? He could have believed. There were signs. There were reasons to believe.
Amen.
Had not done it before? Yes, he had done it before. There's been many times before where God miraculously saved them and they had no idea how it happened. I mean, all of a sudden the armies that were outside heard horses and heard things and heard the sound of an army and they all got up and ran away because they thought another army was coming. God could have saved them.
Amen.
Later on, God actually sends an angel, and the angel destroys 185,000 warriors. God could have saved him. Doesn't mean it was easy to believe, but he could have trusted God. And you know, that's the same thing right now. There's a lot of things you haven't seen. Yes, maybe it is hard to believe, but God has made a promise, and there is enough evidence for you to believe what you haven't even been able to see. You haven't seen the resurrection. I haven't seen the resurrection. I haven't seen these things, but I have enough evidence that I believe the words that God has spoken.
Amen.
And I have faith in what he has said. And if you don't want to believe what God has given you clearly, then you resort to, well, what else do I have to do? What are the other possibilities? What else is there teaching? What do they teach? What are they teaching? What are they saying? What are this? And what is his opinion? What is that? And it's going to never end. There's one solution. God says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's one solution. And if you're not willing to believe in that solution, then you're going to live in an endless possibilities of what am I going to do? And you're going to be running all over the place and you're just burdening yourself. You're wearying yourself down. Because unbelief is wearisome.
Amen.
So I think Isaiah could see it in him right there. Ahaz, why don't you just believe? Why do you have to weary yourself with all the different options? God has made a promise. Just believe it.
Amen.
But not only does it weary yourself, it wearies other people around you. It wearies those around you. He says, is it a small thing for you to weary men? He recognized right away, Ahaz, you're wearying yourself and you're wearying everybody around you. Listen, you're the king. You're the king and your unbelief is actually causing problems because it's affecting everybody else. You know that fear spreads really easily? Fear spreads. It's something that we know just by watching the news, right? It's really easy to get news to go viral if it's something that causes fear. It's gonna force people to think about what's going on. So it wearies those that are following you. It wearies those people that you have any influence with. If you're always fearful, that's gonna affect other people. And so unbelief is going to affect. It infected an entire nation. It says his heart was moved and the heart of his people as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. They're just moving here and there. The heart of his people. It's wearisome. It's wearisome to relationships. Living in a state of unbelief is living in a state of constant doubt. It creates unpredictability. You're thinking, what? You never know. You can't be strong on anything. You can't be firm. It's like walking on eggshells. Think about how it affects relationships where you're always trying to reassure somebody constantly. Isn't that wearisome? You have somebody that you always have to reassure. Maybe somebody calls and says, hey, can you help me move on Friday? You say, yeah, I'll be there. I'll take care of it. We'll move you on Friday. And then Monday they call, hey, you remember about Friday, right? Yeah, of course. I'll be there on Friday. And Monday night, they send you a text message. Hey, remember, Friday, you're going to be able to help me move. Yeah. Then Tuesday morning, Hey, you're going to help me, right? They call you. I mean, it's just wearisome for you to hear me say it a couple times. Imagine if somebody's constantly calling you to reassure, like, hey, are you sure you're going to help me? You almost by Thursday, you're going to say, you know what? Stop calling me. I don't want to help you anymore. Because you're wearying somebody. When you're not believing what they said, you're not believing their word. And so there's constant reassurance. And if everybody's around you and you're always full of unbelief, if you're always wondering, well, have I lost my salvation? Well, is Jesus really true? Is Jesus really saved? And you're always living in unbelief and everybody's constantly trying to reassure you, give you a verse here and there. It's going to be tiresome. Unbelief wearies. And it wearies yourself, but it wearies other people around you. You know, it wearies those who are preaching to you. I think Isaiah was probably thinking, man, you're wearing me out. I'm here giving you, I came with expectation. I mean, I came to you, Ahaz, with the word of the Lord, a word of promise, a word of salvation. And I came with high hopes and high expectations to tell you, you're going to be safe. And you don't believe. And you have fear. And you don't want to trust in God. Oh man. That wearies the people that are trying to teach you. The people that are trying to help you. The people who are praying for you. You know, it wearies the people that are praying for you. Now you might not even know it, but I'm probably sure that most of you have somebody that's praying for you. Maybe it's a mom. Maybe it's a grandma, a grandfather, maybe it's a friend, and they've been praying for you to believe and to be saved.
Thank you, Lord.
And you keep rejecting it. You keep saying, no, I can't believe. I can't believe that. I don't want to believe that. I want to stay away from that. You know, that gets wearisome for those people that are praying
Amen.
For you.
Thank you, Lord.
It's like somebody who's, you know, you fell out of the boat and they throw you a life preserver. And you just decide not to grab it. And they keep on throwing something to try to save you. And you say, no, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it. That gets tiresome. They really want the best for you. And you're rejecting it and you're harming yourself. And that's tiresome. That's wearisome for other people to see. Especially people that care about you, love you. They are wearied when you have unbelief. It hurts. It wearies those that are leading you. Whenever I think about this, I just have to think about Moses. Moses had probably one of the hardest jobs. Imagine how tired he was. First of all, he was 80 years old when he was sent to lead them out of captivity. And then he had to live with them for 40 years in the desert. And the whole time, all it was a wearisome group of unbelievers. They didn't, oh, we can't go in there. There's giants. Oh, you just brought us out here to die. Oh, we don't have any food. We don't have any meat. Oh, it was just constant unbelief. I can imagine Moses just being so tired at the end of his life, wearied. By unbelief.
Amen.
Because it wearies other people. It wearies yourself. And you know, you're wearied by your sin. You're wearied by the unbelief that you have in Jesus Christ. You have no rest. You have no confidence. You have no security in God. Because you're unbelieving. And it wearies those around you. All those around you feel it and see it. But he says here, is it a small thing for you to weary men? Will you weary God also? Okay, you're wearying men. Okay, you're being a burden on other people. Okay, we can all see it. It's affecting others. But do you know that your unbelief is truly wearying? It's burdensome. It's wearing out God. It's wearisome to God. Will you weary my God also? God had already spoken clearly. God gave a clear message, a clear salvation, full of hope, saying that it was going to be okay. He had offered a sign, but he continued in unbelief and treated God as untrustworthy. Because that's what Ahaz is doing when he doesn't want to believe the word that God gave. He's saying, God, you're not worthy of my trust. I can't trust that what you say is going to happen. I got to take matters into my own hands. Now think about that. That's what we're doing when we don't want to believe God and His Word. His Word is clear. The truth has been given. And the gospel that God has given you is a testimony in His Word that He has a solution for you. And when you say, I'm not going to believe, you're rejecting God. You're rejecting God and you're treating Him as unworthy of your faith, unworthy of your belief. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The issue here is belief. The issue here is belief. It's that if you believe, you have life. But if you don't believe, it says the wrath of God abides upon you. Because you've been wearisome to God. Because God has provided a solution and it's right there and you've rejected it. God actually gave His own life in order to save you and you're saying, no thank you. So it says the wrath of God abideth upon Him. Again, this message is clear. Amen. God's message is very clear to you. Amen. Your sin and the problem that it's caused and the problem that it has in the future has a solution, and the solution is Jesus Christ. Amen. Will you believe? That's the question. 1 John 5:10 says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. You are calling God a liar when you do not believe. And that's wearisome to God. You know, God is described in the Bible as being long-suffering. And He is. The fact that we're alive proves He's long-suffering. He is holding off. He is patient. He is waiting. He is not in a hurry to hurt. He is not in a hurry to condemn. He is very patient and long-suffering. But your unbelief wearies His patience. Every time you reject, every time you say no, every time you say another day, every time you say not right now, every time you are being wearisome to God.
Amen.
Unbelief is actually contradicting what God has said. Unbelief rejects the sacrifice that God has made. Galatians chapter 2 verse 21 says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If there was another way for you to be saved, if there was another way for you to fix this problem, there was another solution for this problem, then Christ died in vain. You are rejecting God's sacrifice. You're rejecting what He did. And there in Galatians it says, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. You fall from grace when you don't want to believe and put your trust in the sacrifice that Jesus made. You are rejecting what He's done. Grace being refused becomes a grace that is despised. You are actually despising the grace that God is offering. Now, I don't know if that has ever happened to you. You want to help somebody and they reject it. You know, that doesn't feel good. I remember one time when I was preaching in Mexico, actually I was driving and I saw a lady getting beat up by a man. I'm assuming it was her husband. Well, I couldn't just walk pass by that. I actually got out and started walking him saying, what are you doing? And she is the one that stopped me and said, don't stay away. I didn't ask for your help. Get out of here. And I was just thinking, man, I didn't know I was being that. I was trying to help. But she did not want my help, and it didn't feel good. But you know, God sees our condition. He sees our situation, and he says, you know what? I'm going to help. And he actually does what it takes to sacrifice himself in order to help us.
Thank you, Lord.
And then we say, no, I don't want your help. No, I don't want it. Stay away. I don't want what you have. We're rejecting God, and that's wearisome.
Amen. Amen.
Unbelief wearies your own soul. It's a burden to other people, and it grieves and it provokes God because it's wearisome to Him. Is it a small thing? It's not a small thing. And it's not a small, it's a small thing maybe whenever we compare it with wearying God. I'm going to finish with 2 Chronicles chapter 28. And I just want to read this. 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 22. It says, and in the time of his distress, did he trespass yet more against the Lord? This is that King Ahaz. He says, in the time of his distress, this was his time of distress, God came with a message. God came with a promise. And instead of taking heed to that promise and trusting and believing, it says that he trespassed yet more against the Lord. Instead of getting right with God, instead of turning from his sin, instead of repenting and believing and having faith that saves him, he trespassed more against the Lord. It ended up worse for him. In fact, what he thought was going to save him ended up being worse for him. He paid the Assyrian king to save him, and the Assyrian king came and saved him and then made him his servant. And it became a worse thing for him. It says it did not help him. It was not good for him. The solutions you have to your problems, the solutions you have to your sin is not going to help you. It's going to be worse for you. And so in the time of your distress, don't trespass more against the Lord. In the time of your problem, in the time of your need, in the time that you have all this distress upon you, God comes with a promise of salvation. Belief is the only answer that's going to save you. Trust in the Lord. Unbelief is always going to promise relief, but it won't give you anything. It won't fulfill it. But faith will bring rest in Christ. And that's what the gospel is. You have a problem with sin, and sin has caused a big problem between you and God. But God has gone to the effort, and he has sacrificed himself in order to fix that. And now all he asks is for you to believe. All he says is, believe on me. And he has promises after promise. He says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, he says, you will be saved.
Amen.
The promise of the Lord is one of salvation. He expects belief. And unbelief is wearisome. Let's go ahead and bow.